one name would. One name one.
Blitz is on. Rodgers winds up. He's got time to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown.
Two friends. Too much sport.
Throwing, and it is a fingertip.
Put your hands together for Woo and Wild.
Hello and welcome to episode 35 of the Woot and Why Show. This is Woot kicking it off. I'm with...
Josh White.
Yep, he's here.
I'm here.
As usual.
Every inch of me.
Wow. how's your week been?
Look, it's been a...
Let's say sad.
It has been. It's been a rough week, both in football and outside football. Before we talk about fantasy football and things like that, I want to thank people who tweeted us during the Sydney Siege, worried about us. I feel like people cared for...
It was nice to be loved.
Yeah, and we appreciate the concern, and our hearts go out to all the hostages and the two that passed away. It was just such a unique day, and it was just bizarre. And we, you know, Sydney has got stronger, and we're proud. We're proud to be Australian, and we're proud to be from Sydney.
I did no work that day at all. I was in complete shock.
I listened to it on the radio.
2GB all day?
Yeah. And me too. Look, politics aside, a lot of people hurled abuse at Ray Hadley, but he did a fantastic job covering that.
No. Yeah. People that hurled abuse at him in regards to how he handled the calls and things from hostages, that was totally out of order.
Oh, it was ridiculous. The guy called him. He didn't call anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we appreciate that. We got a couple of tweets from people. One of them is coming up on the show. We've got a big show coming up. We've got the British Bear. He's calling in. We're speaking to Matt Logue from the Daily Telegraph about an article he wrote on Jarryd Hayne this week. A lot of Hayne news picking up, and Australians are excited.
Yep.
I hope they're not overly excited, because we've got to be a bit realistic about these things. But before we get to NFL news, we both lost in our semi-finals in our main league this week.
Yeah, can I just say that it's our main league. It's the league that we all, you know. It's the league. That's the name
of our league.
3 years.
It's quite clever, the name.
3 years, three semi-final defeats for me.
This is my third semi-final, and it's the first year I haven't made the final.
Oof.
But look, I'm hoping to beat you this week and have three consecutive podium finishes. So first, second, and third. That's a mini dynasty, I like to call.
Wow, you can call it whatever you want.
The frustrating part for me was losing to a team that had Bishop Sankey and Torrey Smith in it. But Odell Beckham Jr. is a god.
I am a god. I am a god.
He is the greatest man on earth right now to walk among us.
Wow.
That's not a hot take at all. That's the truth.
I reckon that's a bit of a stretch.
Pardon?
Nope. It's a bit of a stretch. It's
a little bit of a stretch? No.
No.
But the Woot and Why League, you're in the final.
Yeah, baby.
Pirate Zombies, that's your team?
Yep.
Where did that name come from?
It came from Buffalo Wild Wings in America. They had a contest where people would email in suggestions of team names that they could make their logo into, and they had designers and artists make logos, and I saw the Pirate Zombie logo and I thought, that is awesome.
That's something we were thinking about doing at the start of this year. And then our designer sort of
went on a hiatus.
Oh, he went into uni and sort of got really, really busy.
So
we might try and kick that off again next year, maybe not.
Yep.
And you're versing the team at All Mammal, that's Zach. He's been consistent all year, and he was the team that we sort of had trade dramas with early in the year, and there was a trade that went through without you even accepting. That was just bizarre.
I don't know what happened there.
But anyway, so the ultimate rematch, it's going to be awkward if you win, because we had plans that whoever wins goes in next year. So even if All Mammal loses, he's welcome back in,
because
he's the highest unranked, we have a representative next year.
Yeah.
And one last thing, I just want to say, Johnny Manziel was... rubbish. Poo.
He was not good.
He poo-pooed. And look, I know Brian Hoyer has been rubbish.
Poo-poo.
But has not been poo-poo.
He hasn't been poo-poo.
He's been rubbish. Manziel's been the step down. He's been poo-poo. So look,
I don't know about that.
I want all Hoyer everything to be back. I want the hashtag to be relaunched. I want new banners. I want everything. Let's just Hoyer, let's take back Cleveland.
Jury's still out for me. I mean, he didn't play well, but they had a poor game plan. They versed the Bengals defense, which is, you know, nothing to laugh at.
No, that Bengals defense is sort of were really good the first 4 weeks, then had like 6 weeks off, and now they're back to being good again.
I think any team that was coming up for Manziel's first game would be pumped up to put him in the ground.
Yeah, well, we saw many players do the money sign every time they sacked him. But he reminded me a little bit of RG3, just sort of a bit of indecision in the pocket, held on that ball too long. I think a little bit of experience, he'll get better. We can't write him off for one game. But, look, for someone that's been a big Brian Hoyer believer and, you know, copped a lot of stuff for that, he's been rubbish. But it was a little bit of revenge, a little bit of sweet for me.
A little bit.
Because I like the Browns.
So do I. I love them.
Yeah.
But it was a low snap count, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's, you know, probably no fault of his own, but...
It'll get better.
Yep.
All right, let's go to our NFL news. Our next guest is the British Bear, a.k.a. Justin Twell. He's a friend of ours, fan of the show, and he's a fellow NFL stonecutter.
He is.
And he joins us live from Brisbane, a Brisbane British Bear.
Wow, three Bs.
Yes. How you going, Justin?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Massive, massive storm here at the moment, so, yeah, it's probably why we've had to do this by phone.
Yeah, that's all right. Should be all good. So, speaking of storms... There's one brewing in Chicago.
Yeah, wow. I was actually quite surprised when I heard it because I don't see where it's come from. I mean, okay, Carter hasn't been what we pretty much expected him to be this year, particularly in recent times. But you know, you're paying him so much that you know I was pretty much expecting him to play through the whole season.
Yeah.
And then obviously in the off season, you know. Probably looking to make some coaching changes. So, yeah, it's kind of come out a bit left field for me.
Yeah.
So,
in case anyone's not knowing what we're talking about and you've been living under a rock, Jay Cutler has been benched for Jimmy Clausen for the rest of the season. So it looks like Jay Cutler's career might be over with the Bears, or it might just be for 2 weeks. Look, for us, we think it's a bit unfair. I think we see Jay Cutler as being a scapegoat by Tressman and your general manager as a way to sort of hang on to their jobs. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I kind of do, mate. I think seeing, ever since the news broke, there's been a lot of people on Twitter saying the same thing. And I generally get that feeling as well. Because, you know, I was always a defender of Cutler up until this season, and I kind of found it difficult to defend him as much as I used to. Or as much as I used to think. But, you know, when you've got a defence as bad as the Bears, you know, he was getting blamed for losses, you know, the big 30, 40-point losses when it was all on the defence. So I do think he gets a little bit of unnecessary blame at times, and he's expected to, you know, put up 50 points when the defence gives up 40, 45. So, I think it is a bit of a possible scapegoat move. And a desperate attempt for Tressman to try and save his job, which, yeah, it's looking like it's too late for that now, but we'll see.
It's kind of looking like he's like the new Romo kind of thing, where everyone would, you know, just blame Romo for whatever troubles Dallas had. Dallas's defense last year was absolutely abysmal.
And that was the worst defense in the NFL.
The worst defense in the NFL, and yet Jason Garrett kept his job, and so did Romo.
And the Bears are the worst defense in the NFL. They're averaging 29.2 points a game against them. That's 2 points more than any other defense. Jay Cutler's been sacked 37 times, the 14th most in the NFL. And here's a little stat I think people don't realize. Jay Cutler's been forced to throw the ball over 37 times a game, and his completion percentage is 66.1%. So that gives, for quarterbacks that are throwing it over 30, have an average of over 37 times a game, only Ben Roethlisberger and Drew Brees have a higher completion percentage with 67 and 70 respectively. So he's actually has a better completion rate throwing the ball the same amount of times as Tom Brady and Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting because I believe that completion percentage might well be a career high for Cutler, or certainly up there. So there's a lot of good things that sort of statistically you can look at and say, wow, he's done some good things. But I really, when I look at the Bears as a whole, I really think it's. I mean, Cutler's saying he's a problem. Yeah, he throws a lot of interceptions, but I think the defense as a whole is a much, much bigger problem. And if we can't stop anybody, then it's a lot to ask of Cutler. I mean, even the Bears offense, I mean, Marshall's gone up the year. And it's a big ask to keep up with the other offense scoring 40-odd points a game against the Bears. So, very, very, I do feel a bit for Cutler with this. I think it's an unnecessary move. And I think that if you're going to do it, I personally would have liked to have seen, I think he's a rookie or it might be picked last year, David Fales.
Yeah, we struggled to find his name last week.
Yeah, it would have been good to see him maybe start this week and just see what he looks like and what he can do. Because basically, you know, when you look at the best season, they've pretty much given up on it now. So, you know, why not? If you're going to bench Cutler, why not give Fales a chance to see what he can do?
Justin, if you were GM come this off season, what moves would you then make? Would you be trying to ship Jay Cutler off, or you know, would you be getting rid of Trestman?
I wouldn't get rid of Cutler. My first move, if you're talking about getting rid of people, would be Mel Tucker, defensive coordinator.
You can't see us, but we were pumping fists when you said that you would keep Cutler because we are.
We agree
with that.
I don't think they you know, they've got him on the big contract. They're pretty much you know, married to him for how many years now. So I don't think get rid of Cutler. I think, you know, my first move would be I'd get rid of Mel Tucker and I'd probably get rid of Trestman too. And I mean, if you're thinking about who to bring in, if you get rid of Trestman, then there's only two people I can think of at the moment, and that's Jim Harbaugh or go and get Todd Bowles, the Arizona Cardinals defensive coordinator.
What about Rex Ryan?
Say that again?
Would you like Rex Ryan?
Ooh. as a defensive coordinator, yes.
Yep.
But I don't think I would approve of him as a head coach.
To be honest, that's what I think his next move would be.
I think he'd be a great defensive coordinator for you guys. And I think, actually, as a head coach, it wouldn't be that bad. Because there's rumors that Cutler sort of has an attitude problem. And you want to talk back to Rex Ryan, he'll give it back. He has got fire in his belly. I don't know. I think he might be the right guy. I reckon that's exciting. That excites me.
I think people don't...
He absolutely could be. I think the hiring of Trestman... in hindsight, was probably not the best one now, because I feel the Bears have really lost their identity since he's come in. You know, The Bears have always been defense first. You know, I mean, you look back in the season 2006 when the Bears got to the Super Bowl. You know, it was pretty much the defense and Devin Hester.
Yeah.
That got them there. So.
And what happened to that defense in the Super Bowl, by the way? Did Peyton Manning and the Colts?
I believe we met a certain Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne and all the rest of them. So
yeah.
But look, the point stands is that, you know, the defense was great that year, and we've had many, many, many great years of, you know, obviously the 85 Bears are well known.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think that it's always been about, you know, defense being better on the defensive side of the ball than the offensive side of the ball, and I think the Bears try to sort of keep up with the NFL the way it is today, being offensive minded, but maybe just haven't worked for them. And that's why I'd like to maybe see a defensive minded guy come in next.
Yeah. And I think shipping Cutler or trying to move Cutler or abandon Cutler would put you behind the eight ball, because then you have to address the quarterback position and how that impacts on the offense. And then you've got to deal with revamping a defense and an offense at the same time.
I think when the year that, you know, it was the Russell Wilson, Luck, RG3, Foles, everything, people kind of saw, oh, maybe we can, you know, just go out and draft a quarterback. And now I think people, you know, you look at this year's quarterback class and everyone thought... And
last year's.
Oh, I mean, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just thought, you know, oh, we can do this. And now people are actually starting to realize that that's not necessarily the way you can go.
And I think quarterback is relatively thin in this draft, especially now that Connor Cook's gone back into to play one more year at Michigan, and there's rumors that Marcus Mariota might go back to college as well. You know, and he's a read quarterback, and we haven't seen them go too well this year at all.
Mm-mm.
So I think keeping Cutler is the right decision. And I said it last week, if Cutler played for the Rams, they'd be in the playoffs, in my opinion. And I just think it's easier for the Bears to sack a quarterback or to drop a quarterback than drop a whole defense.
Oh, absolutely. I think if he's going to go anywhere, I think if he does leave, I think it'll be the biggest mistake the Bears will make. I just think that, you know, like you touched on with the draft prospects this year, not exactly looking great. And, you know, Cutler's been a long time now, and I think we stick with him and just concentrate on the defensive side of the ball for next year. You know, get rid of Mel Tucker, draft defense again, like we did last year, pretty much. So I think keep Cutler, but it certainly makes the game this week interesting. Chucking Jimmy Clausen into the Detroit Lions defense is going to be could be messy.
Hey, imagine Jimmy Clausen ending the Lions season. Imagine that. Oh, that'd be beautiful.
Jimmy football.
Jimmy football.
Wow.
Oh,
let's get shirts made up.
He was a top 10 pick. What a bust he was. As I was with Jay Cutler, I think there's a shorter list in front of him. You know, quarterbacks you'd rather have than Cutler than behind him.
Yeah,
like I think at worst he'll slip to like 17 or 18 in the NFL rank, and I think at his peak he can you know be on the cusp of a top 10 quarterback. And when I look at the way he's played this year, and I look at Matt Stafford, I think they've played pretty similar, and just one's got a better defense than the other. I think if you switch Stafford and Cutler on teams, I think you'd get identical results. And Stafford seems to be escaping any sort of criticism. Same with Drew Brees.
Yeah,
that's a good point, and I've seen I've heard someone in recent weeks say, you know, how this, you know, Drew Brees escaped a similar criticism. I mean, some people probably point to the fact that he's been elite for most of his career, and he's got the Super Bowl ring and all the rest of it. But the Cutler benching does shock me a little bit. As someone who hasn't defended him much this year, I do really feel for the guy at the moment. I agree with you boys that it looks like he's been made a scapegoat for what's happened.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just a last ditch attempt for Chessman trying to save his job, which I think is a little bit too late now. I think he's gone at season's end.
Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah. Well.
On the bright side, you might lose these last two games and get a better draft pick.
Yeah, we might tank for someone or suck for someone or whatever, so get that higher draft pick. So.
We're not implying you to suck anything, Justin.
No.
Good.
I think we'll lose this week though. I think the Lions are they should beat us pretty convincingly.
They do look good.
And I think the Lions are very good. And they could certainly beat out the Packers for the NFC North title, so we'll see on that one.
Yep. All right, any last words before we let you go, mate?
Still love my Bears. Always have. I've been a fan for 25 years, so...
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not about to bow on them now. It's been such a disappointing season. You know, I probably the most disappointing in my time as a fan.
There you go.
But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting time coming up the next couple of weeks. And then, obviously, we've got the playoffs coming up, so...
Who's your pick to win it all, mate?
I'll pick to win it all. I'm going to go New England Patriots.
Who's your MVP pick?
We're about to get onto that. Saucy.
MVP pick, I am going to go with J.J. Watt.
Whoa. You've been debating with another listener, Shrembury, all week about this, and it's been pretty saucy.
Yeah, that's for you, Shrembury. I really think... what deserves it, so yeah, he's my pick.
Yeah, awesome.
Nice. Alright, well, thanks for having you on the show.
Oh, no worries, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. We'll have you definitely on again, mate. The British Bear. Thanks to Justin for coming on the show and talking about his beloved Bears. 25 years he's been following, and he said it's the worst he's ever worst season he's ever had.
Ouch.
Ouch, yeah. All right, we've got another guest. Two guests in one episode. I don't know if we've ever had this. Oh, although last week we had two guests on at the same time. So that was great last week. Next up on the show, we have Matt Logue from the Daily Telegraph. And he wrote an article this week about Jarryd Hayne impressing NFL franchises. And this article's in our biggest newspaper in Australia, the Daily Telegraph. So let's get him on the line. All right, from the Daily Telegraph, we have, and Big League magazine, we have Matt Logue, who's the author of that Jarryd Hayne article. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. We were talking to you during the week, trying to secure your exclusive voice for the show.
Exclusive voice.
Yes, that's beautiful. And you informed us about your NFL sort of nature. How long have you been following the NFL for?
You know, look, I'm born and bred Gubbo boy, so country boy at heart. So I've always been a rugby league man, but I've always loved my American sport, and I love the NFL. I think it's a lot of Aussies, I guess, sometimes, particularly back home in the country, probably don't necessarily understand. You know, they probably just think it's a little bit boring compared to, you know, to rugby league or AFL or their chosen sport. But I've always loved the sheer athleticism of these guys and the power and the raw power. I've always enjoyed it. I'm a huge Boston fan in general, and that's in all sports. So I'm a Patriots fan. So I believe you guys have got a few Patriots fans on the show. So I apologise in advance.
No, it's all good. They just seem to just pop up everywhere in Australia. I think we have like the second biggest Patriots fan base outside of Boston. Like it's in Australia. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Look, they're a side that's probably similar to Manly in some respects in the NRL, they can be hated.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. I'm only sour because they've knocked the Colts out of the playoffs so many times. That's my only reason.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. Like, you know, and success breeds that. So, you know, they've had a fantastic run, and mate, you know, I love watching them play. And Boston sports fans in general, though, they're so passionate. So
yeah,
look, that the NFL's fantastic, and it's great to see. You know, one of our own, Jarryd Hayne, who, you know, has done everything apart from win a premiership in the rugby league world. So for him to go over and you know, try and, I suppose, live out his dream, it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, and it's at the pinnacle of his rugby league career. He's just come off a second Dally M award, arguably one of his, like, all-around good seasons where he played a lot more of a supportive role rather than the freakish talent where he won the first year. And to just drop all that and just fly over to America and chase his dream, you've got to admire his courage.
Oh, mate, yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's been a lot of critics out there that, you know, you won't make it. Because, look, as you guys know, it is really hard to make it. But Jarryd, when he wants to do something, and this is, I've been a rugby league journalist for, you know, about 10 years now. And, when Jarryd wants to do something, he will put absolutely everything into it. And this is just not something that he's just decided one day, I'm going to go to the NFL. This has always been his dream. Apparently, he has been in contact with university sides in Sydney regularly for a number of years. He's practiced routes. He lives and breathes it. He loves his fantasy football. And this is his dream. So he's not going over there completely blind, but, you know, as you know, it's just such a big task. He's, he's certainly impressed so far. As was reported in the last week or so, but there's a long way to go in terms of the knowledge.
Yeah, I think we knew he was a fan, seeing all the off-season trips that he'd have on like vacation holiday over there.
Visited Dallas.
Visited Dallas, and like there was all those photos of him in the crowd with all the Dallas gear on. So I think people knew he was a fan, but I don't think people knew just of how serious he was about taking it on professionally.
No way. No, and that's the thing. I think everyone's got the Dallas connection and then the Instagram post. But privately, he and those close to him, they always knew that this was something he wanted to do.
Yeah.
But they didn't think he was just going to just drop one day and just go, all right, bang, there's the bombshell, I'm off. And when he did, I was out there that day at Parramatta Stadium, and I attended the press conference, and even teammates and friends that are close to Jarryd and have been for a number of years, they were shocked. They couldn't believe that he'd actually pushed the button and he was going to, you know, go to America and chase his dream. And look, it's a fantastic story. you have to applaud him. It takes guts. And I just wish him all the best. You know, it's going to be hard, but really hard. And but he's doing the right steps. He's showing initiative. He's doing one-on-one sessions with star quarterbacks. He's organised a joint session in front of 12 clubs, and they were blown away by his speed and agility, his natural speed and agility. There are some clubs that are concerned about his age.
Yeah, that's what we heard from around the NFL writer Connor Orr tweeted this morning that about Hain, that clubs are concerned about his age and the fact that he hasn't got playbook experience.
Absolutely, and I think that's going to be a big thing. You know, speaking to Colin Scott, you know, during the week, you know, well-known former Australian NFL player, and he said it's like for each position, it's like trying to learn, you know, a phone book, and that's thick. And you know, there's a lot of things there, because at the moment, Jared isn't 100% sure what position he wants to play.
Yeah, I think he needs to just make a decision and just has to stick. I think that might be easier.
Absolutely. Because I think a running back, or you know, some clubs are saying he could be defensive end, or you know, the punt returner. There's all different, you know, those sort of roles. But each of those roles, you know, has separate knowledge that you have to master, and it is intense. It's like, you know, they call rugby union a technical game. Well, yeah. Please, NFL's is amazingly technical. So that's the thing now. He's impressed. He's meeting with several more clubs post that joint session, and his aim is to get on a practice squad and get in a team environment so he can actually get a playbook, he can learn it, he can be in that environment where apparently Colin Scott said some blokes will be competitive, but they won't want to give Jared anything, where others will sort of come here, mate, I'll help you out.
Yeah.
He needs to be in that team environment to go forward. Some and as we've seen, there's been former athletes where, you know, played rugby before and then been in the NFL, been on a practice squad and then been punted within, you know, a couple of days. So, you know, not a couple of days, but not long, you know, and then they've been back into rugby by, you know, a couple of months. So, you know, I think that the key for Jared is trying to get into a club that will actually care about him, his development, and then, mate, it's just learning it all and studying and mate, yeah, it's going to be hard, but, yeah, he's making the right steps.
Well, the thing for me, like the playbook concerns, is the fact that he's so passionate about NFL, and that was always his dream. The fact that, like, you know, rugby league was sort of in the back of his mind, and he managed to be, you know, the best player in the world when he was had his mind set on NFL is astonishing. And the fact that I think now that he's 100% on NFL, that bodes well for him. And we knew, we had mail that he was training with UTS for a while. We heard he'd been going to training sessions and things like that from people that have played. So we knew that there was a love there, and I think that could bode well for him. And you mentioned before that he's been practicing with star quarterbacks. Are you able to shed light on who he's been training with?
Yeah, I'd love to know.
Oh, you don't know?
I'd love to know, mate. I've been chasing that quite hard.
So Colin's playing it close to his chest?
Oh, Colin wouldn't know. There are other guys, you know, that I respect. I think from the onset, I think I did a story in the Telegraph last Saturday, and it was pretty much that Jared, he wants to do this the respectful way. He doesn't want the Americans or anyone at the NFL to think it's a circus or a media circus. He wants to impress them with his ability, but also on the field, but also his knowledge and his willingness to work hard. And I think it's not that he doesn't want us to know about his progression, but I just think he just wants to go about it the respectful way. That's why when he arrived in LA, he had a lot of offers from clubs, apparently. That is my understanding, and he decided, well, no, I'm going to wait. I want to find a US agent. I want to get the right one. That's not going to be about the headline. It's going to be about my development, and that's when Jack Bechter, he met with him, and his Australian agent, Wayne Beavis, and from all reports, yeah, Jared was really impressed with Jack. You know, I think he's had 250 NFL players throughout his career, which I think spanned 25 years. So
wow.
Jared's impressed. So from going forward, that's when he's got an agent. That's when Jack, his agent, has organised the joint session in front of 12 clubs, and then that's when they've been impressed, particularly with his 40-yard sprint, and then he's gone from there. But you make great points, because Jared, you know, he's a kid from Minto that no one thought would, you know, in housing commission, no one thought would get out of Minto. No one thought he'd make it to the NRL. Well, he's proved them wrong on both counts there. And this guy's got an incredible thirst for learning and becoming better. And the best athletes on the planet are students. And Jared's certainly a student. It's probably something he didn't get enough raps for during his time in the NRL.
Yeah, Minto's just around the corner from us. So
can I just say, I got off the train at Minto Station this afternoon. So
that was super. Mate, Jared Hayne country.
Yeah, mate, we're well aware of the Hayne folklore around these parts. One other thing, and I just crossed my mind. No, he will make a 90-man roster. I'm 100% sure on that.
Mm-hmm.
The tough ask is making that final 53-man roster. But you hear stories every year of players impressing in mini camps and OTAs and training camp.
Yeah.
Just making plays on 7-on-7 drills, 11-on-11 drills. They make plays and they get a chance. And I think if he can make a preseason and look, this is entirely all optimism here. This is not saying this will happen, and can make some plays, especially on special teams. Teams are willing to take a chance on players that have that special talent. And I know there's a lot of players coming from college that also have that special talent, but you just never know.
No, mate, I think you make a great point. Obviously, you know, you guys are right across, you know, the NFL in terms of the procedures as well. And that's, I guess, it's a great insight, you know, for people at home and a lot of Aussies that, you know, may not necessarily follow it or may have a passing interest. But the process going forward now, you're right, if you can get onto a practice squad and get in a team environment, and a special sort of team that you're talking about, well, you know, they might be interested in it because he's a super talent and he's willing to learn. So they might be willing to take a risk with that. Look, I think this is certainly not Israel Folau GWS proportions in terms of a PR stint. Like, Jared has genuine interest in NFL. I'm not saying that Izzy didn't necessarily have a genuine interest in AFL, but I think this is a lot more genuine than that. And I think, it's going to be hard. He's going to be competing against the best of the best of players that are trying to get back in there, the college system. But if Jared's work ethic and his initiative is anything to go by, then I wish him all the best. And I think, Aussies, come on, put aside your tall poppy syndrome and let's just get behind a fellow Aussie and back Jared, because, you know, if he can make it, it'd be fantastic.
I think it's great, the approach that he's taking, trying to stay out of the limelight, considering just how, you know, tough college players are finding it with all this publicity. I'm not saying that, you know, he's anywhere near the kind of player Johnny Manziel is, but I mean, look at his first start. He just had the complete shocker. So, I mean,
and Hayne's used to being in the pro sports level because he's already achieved the greatness, so he knows how to lay low when times are tough. He was shot at King's Cross and had to lay low for a few weeks, and he managed to turn his image around after that. So I think he's, like, playing NRL at an elite level at a young age has really helped his development as just a person and as a student, as you said before.
Absolutely, and I think you even look at, like, someone like Colin Scott. He said, like, when he first went over there, you know, no one thought he would make it either. So, you know, that's common, as you say. It regularly happens where players from different sports or the NFL will try and get into squads, and it happens every year, and it's tough. You know, he's putting in the effort. It's 24/7, and I've got, you know, reliable reports that, you know, he's living this. Absolutely living it, and his knowledge is probably halfway there at the moment, so he can have a conversation, and his lingo and his on the terminologies and all that sort of, you know, he's probably halfway there. So he's still got a fair way to go. Let's not, you know, deny that.
No.
But the effort that he's put in so far, he's put himself in a good position to at least get on a practice squad, and then from there, the hard work starts again.
Yeah, oh, that's very good insight. We're excited, and thanks for coming on the show and sharing that insight. If anything else comes to light, I think we'll give you a call again.
No, absolutely. A pleasure. It's I think it's a great show, and it's a good insight for people. You know, it's the biggest sport in America, and but there's a lot of fans, as you say, like, you know, Patriots fans alone outside of Boston. It's a great sport, and I think you can respect something when you know a little bit more about it, and what these players, you know, put themselves through. It's amazing. So I appreciate you having me on, and I just wish Jared all the best, and there'll be more updates to come. Hopefully, you can get a club. I guess before the new year.
Yeah, we'll just pass this podcast on to him, and we know he's a big fan, so he'll appreciate 15 minutes dedicated to him.
Oh, mate, I'm sure he'll be a rat. Like, and that's what I said. Like, he's going about this the right way. It's not, he doesn't want everyone to know. He's just trying to be respectful. And he got up there the day he left, and he was in tears talking about, he just wanted to be a kid from Minto that wanted to get his purchase. Buy his mum a home. So he's done that. Now he's got the guts. And anyone that's got the guts to chase a dream, I think you should sit back and go, well, good on you, mate. And we wish him all the best. And thank you for having me on.
No worries, Matt. And we'll speak again soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, mate. Bye.
Thank you.
All right, that was our exclusive Hayne interview with Matt Logue from the Daily Telegraph and the Big League.
So don't say we don't bring anything.
Yeah, we bring a lot to the table. We is Colin Scott.
Colin Cott.
Yeah. Why not? And he has sources. He spoke to Wayne Beavis, and he's really hammered hard that mental aspect of Hayne that I think people don't realise. And I think a lot of people that are putting Hayne down and saying that he can't make it are only looking at the physical traits and the fact that college football is so competitive and how deep draft classes are. And a lot of players, like even Michael Sam's, can't find an NFL team, and he was SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
I think there's also so many uneducated people out there that just think, there's so many more people in America.
Yeah, he won't make it.
He can't make it.
People don't realise, he won a Dally M award last year, and all year he was thinking about moving to the NFL. He wasn't even switched on playing rugby league, except for State of Origin.
And his team didn't make the top eight.
Pardon?
And Parra didn't make the top eight.
Yeah, but then they went from last to ninth.
I mean, I know. I'm just saying.
The rest of the team, I think, we're a bit biased because we're Eels fans and Hayne fans and Southwest Sydney
starters. It's such a weird feeling for us considering how high we were on Hayne when he was in the NRL and how he was our favourite player.
Yeah.
And now he's gone to our favourite sport, leaving our team.
And it's hard for us not to get excited, but we don't want to be overly optimistic. We've got to be realistic about these things. And I think for us, our view is, yes, he'll make a 90-man roster. Yes, 53-man roster is a very steep hill.
Yep.
But I think he has a percentage chance to make it. What percentage that is? Probably less than 20. But, how many times have we seen Hayne pull off a less than 20% move and score a try?
Also, another thing, right? You can't state how important, how much a team values a player from a different market. So the more Australians they get behind Hayne, just in general, and Australians backing the NFL, the more possibility that they do come down here for a preseason game or a warm up that kind
a
of
a player thing. Like that that could end up playing in a regular season game could change NFL fandom in Australia, and that's not an overreaction. If Hayne plays and, imagine he catches a kickoff return and takes it for a touchdown. It would break the internet in Australia.
Even if he got crunched in his first hit.
And gets back up.
The media would explode.
Yeah, it would just be incredible. All right, well, speaking of incredible, we're going to head over to our real MVP. All right, our real MVP this week's a little bit different. We've had a lot of debates this week about the MVP award for the season. So instead of naming our real MVP of the week, we're going to name who we think should be the NFL MVP of the year. I know there's still two games left, but playoffs hit hard and we're not going to have enough time to address all of this.
Yeah.
So we've put it out on social media this week.
We kind of outsourced it.
Yeah, and we got a lot of replies to our tweets. And look, a lot of people love J.J. Watt.
A lot of people. Turn down for what?
They love him. They just love him. Who is your NFL MVP for the year?
Can I just say, right, before this week, I would have still been on the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon.
Yep.
However, JJ Watt.
Turn down for what?
He's just a beast of an athlete. Like, I can't. There's the whole debate, who's more important for your team? I don't want to get into that. Like,
That's the Shembri argument.
I know.
And it has merit.
It does have merit. However,
plenty of merit.
However, I was just looking at the Green Bay scores last week and how different they are at home and how different they are away and things like that. And just,
Buffalo are good, though.
I know. Buffalo are great. By the way, congratulations to Buffalo.
If they beat New England in the last week, they could push for a playoffs.
And we just had them flat dead last in our prediction at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
However, also, well done to Kyle Orton.
Oh, he's doing okay.
Kyle Orton's just, you know...
He's getting there.
He's still got a job.
I'm still angry at him that he shaved his porn star, though, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll just leave that.
So you're on JJ Watt.
I do like JJ Watt.
Because of Rodgers' performance.
Not so much Rodgers' performance, but how consistent JJ is.
Yep.
It just seems he's always so consistent. And yet, you know, a defensive player, because he's not, you know, the star pretty boy of the team, is being overlooked.
He's a pretty boy.
Pretty boy. The guy's a monster.
He's a monster. Can he go an NFL game without his nose bleeding?
I don't know.
If he can do that, I'll give him the trophy.
He needs to stick something up it so it doesn't.
Oh, that's nasty.
I'm still on the Aaron Rodgers train for NFL MVP. I agree with Shembri that a NFL quarterback is the most valuable player on the field, and if he's the best quarterback for the year, he will win that award, and that's why he'll win the award. I don't agree with Shembri's argument that JJ Watt isn't considered even a top five chance. I would have JJ Watt a very close second. He will receive votes. I think it will go down to the wire.
It's not between anyone else than those
no,
two.
No, it's those two. Anyone that says Tom Brady, I don't even think he's the most valuable player on his team this season.
I still disagree with that.
I think Rob Gronkowski is just incredible. You look at Brady's stats over the year, when Gronk's healthy, they've gotten better. And when they readjusted that line. So I just think Gronk is that. But it is JJ Watt and it's Aaron Rodgers. So here's some of the responses we got. At GR Cobb, he says, love Rodgers, but JJ is having the type of season we may never see again.
Mm-hmm.
Fair argument.
Fair enough.
Adam Nichols, at Adam Megabyte, said, one Rodgers, two Brady, three Watt. And he said, Watt's unanimous defensive player of the year. Well, that's a given. ML Sports Tours said JJ Swat easily.
I don't know about easily.
I don't know. Chris White, 73. JJ Watt, because of his dominance, they should change the MVP to the most outstanding player, i.e. the Heisman Trophy.
Cool.
I don't disagree with that.
No, that seems
good. When you look at, like, JJ Watt's Pro Football Focus ranking, he is, like, over 50 points higher than the next defensive. He has, like, 88 plus 88. It's, like, the best.
Maybe they should just rename the position.
Pardon?
Oh, but then again, he plays tight end now, so...
Like, he just does everything. That's ridiculous. Adam Vaughan said Jarrod Hayne, and then said, just kidding. What's defensive player? Old school journos won't pick him MVP. He said outside the box MVP, Big Ben. I don't know. I think Antonio Brown is...
Can I just say, the fact that Ben Roethlisberger had thrown 12 touchdowns going into a game against the Jets, who were allowing the most touchdowns, and then playing that.
Yeah, had a stinker. Shembri's still pushing his argument. Watt won't make the playoffs. Last time a player that wasn't in the postseason that won MVP was in 1973.
Now that's a good stat.
That is a great stat.
That's a good Shembri stat. Shembri shenanigans.
Yes, he's doing well. Where else? We've got still more. At Josh Boeck, he is the man behind Colts Academy, which is a fantastic, fantastic website. He said, as long as the award is based on value, defensive players can't win. So that sort of ties in with what Chris said about changing the trophy. But he says, quarterback has the ball on every offensive down. Rodgers, no contest.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much sums it up for me. But that's the answers we've got.
I if it goes on who I think deserves it, I think JJ Watt deserves it. Would you agree with
yes,
that?
Yes, and at Troy Foot, at TD Foot 76, are the same thing. JJ Watt.
If a player deserves it, they should win it. It's okay. Just, I know it's, you know, distorted who's most valuable. Yeah. That just becomes a real...
Yeah, the Buffalo game is coming at an ugly time for Aaron. If that happened in week two, we wouldn't be talking about Rodgers. So I think that's what we'll go with. So we're sort of split on that one. So it'll be interesting. I think it'll be like 54 to 46 or something in the voting. It'll be like between 6 and 10 votes in it.
If it... if Rodgers comes out this week and plays an absolute dud.
If he plays up a stinker against Detroit's defense at home, who knows?
It's going to be...
Yep.
It'll be interesting.
All right, we're just going to take a quick commercial break. The NFL in Australia petition, I thought it was a good time to bring that up this episode, considering we just talked about Jarryd Hayne. Jarryd Hayne scores a touchdown, that petition's going to blow up. So why not get on it before that? And you can say, you know what?
I was on that before you scored a touchdown.
I was on that before the Hayne plane. Touchdown.
Touchdown.
Well done.
Did you mean that? You didn't mean that. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
on-air high five.
Scott's been on a couple of episodes ago and told us his little story about his history in the NFL and how much he loves it, and he's working his butt off. He's made a new advertisement video. I think we'll put it on our Facebook page.
How he named his son...
After us. So we're going to have to, there's a lifetime guarantee now that we have to plug his petition. Kudos to you. When you name your son, you get free advertising. All right. Let's move back on. All right. Robert Schrembury asked us a question, and I think it was on the agenda already, but I thought let's just bring it to the forefront now. The five most disappointing players this season. So we've got five each.
We're going to go from five to one.
Okay.
Go that way?
Yeah, we'll do it that way.
What's the point of starting with the worst?
Okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
All right, you start us. Start us off.
All right. I'm taking a real cheap way out here.
Yeah.
Cheap way out. But then when we were naming them, we're like, wow, there are so many that fit into this one category.
Yep.
Running backs taken early in fantasy sports this year.
Major disappointment.
It's been a real, you know, crappy season for these kind of running backs. Doug Martin, who was taken real early the season before, and then people were, you know, umming and ahhing whether they should take him again this year.
Yep.
Zach Stacy, Ben Tate, another one. Alfred Mollusk. We'll go with Mollusk.
He has been running the ball like a mollusk. Actually, that's a bit harsh. I think the situation sort of hurt him a little bit. But anyway.
Yeah. Andre Ellington, not as much, but yeah, to a degree. Monte Ball is, people thought, with the opportunity against, you know, generally Peyton having them run against six.
No, we saw CJ Anderson.
Yeah. Exactly. So just what a difference, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toby Gearhart goes into Jacksonville as the man, if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Nothing. So, I mean, there you go. Number five.
He put up a Manziel.
Wow. Anyway, or a string of Hoyas.
Let's go.
All right, you're number
five. Tensions are brewing.
You're number five.
I'm going to go with Patrick Peterson.
Ooh.
I think he was considered a top three corner in the NFL going into the season, and he was paid accordingly. And he's just been burnt by too many people. He's had some decent games, but what comes to mind is Julio Jones just destroying him. When Patrick Peterson's supposed to be one of the most athletic corners in the game. And, I just think he's been a disappointment for me.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, number four.
Number four. All right. There's a bit of debate how to say this name. Cordial. Patterson.
Just call him Cotties.
CP.
Cody's
cool. Wow, that's why I'm not calling
you. Oh, man. Well, the listeners will get that.
I like Cody's.
I
do. No copyright. You know, yeah, he's supposed to be, you know, the weapon, the Minnesota weapon. The year before they thought, okay, maybe just growing pains, you know. Then it was supposed to be his breakout year. Well, coming the end of last year, he finished really solidly. People thought, you know, this is going to... I finally got someone. Now it seems to be Charles Johnson.
Which is great, because I liked him in the Browns practice squad. I was reading reports.
I like his haircut.
Have you seen the bleached sort of mohawk?
I don't know, it's like a...
It's like Dolph Ziggler from Rocky.
It is a bit weird. Yeah, no, but Cordarrelle... We're going with Cordell?
Yeah.
Cotties is...
Your name is a disappointment.
No, wow. I'm not going that far, but I mean...
I'm going that far.
He, look, Teddy needed someone.
Yep.
And, you know, didn't come up with the goods at all.
Yep, I'm going to stick to wide receivers here, and this pains me. Like, I named my fish after this guy, because I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, so the name's, you know, unisex, Reggie. Going with Reggie Wayne. He's been really disappointing. I know he's been injured, but just before that, he looks like he lost a step. Early on in the year, he was okay, but I think that knee injury and his age has sort of caught up to him, and he's not the same Reggie Wayne that I loved, the same Hall of Fame-bound Reggie that I know. Mm. And it pains me to say this, but I think his time with the Colts is definitely up, and maybe possibly retirement is on the horizon. And it's been a stellar career, and I applaud you, but you've been disappointing this year.
However, and you would have thought that kind of like Hakeem Nicks or someone would have filled the role, and yet it didn't really happen.
It's Dante Moncrief has been really, like, he's...
Coming on, however, last 2 weeks.
Not too good.
Not too great. All right. He's already been mentioned.
No, you've already mentioned.
But,
He's number three.
Number three on mine, Patrick Peterson. So, referencing that Julio Jones game again.
Mm.
I knew all too well how well Julio was playing against him as Julio was in my fantasy team and broke out, you know. That wasn't the game. His biggest...
Is that the game
career.
You beat?
No. That was the week before, I'm pretty sure. But anyway,
I think it was.
He still tore him a new one.
He did.
And
to put that nicely.
Patrick Peterson is supposed to be one of the premium corners, cover corners. If there's not... I'm still, you know, there's not a real shutdown corner anymore. However, he's still considered as one of those guys, and he's just not up to that caliber anymore. I don't think quarterbacks aren't afraid to throw in his direction, or, you know, just throw directly at him, or throw a ball up and see if, you know, just nothing anymore. The intimidation factor's gone for me.
Yep. All right, number three on my list was Geno Smith. Look, the expectations weren't high, but before the season started, I was sort of one of those people that was on sort of Team Geno against Vic, and I was pushing hard that Geno would sort of make an improvement, and he had no weapons, and, you know, it was a stagnant offense, but he just put up stinkers.
You gotta be kidding me. I mean, how do you watch that? I mean, yeah, they stink!
Just absolute stinkers, and he's not... Look, at least the Jets know now, and they're in a position where they could maybe land someone, maybe phone Chicago.
I was about to say, would you pick up Jay Cutler?
I would, absolutely. But, yeah, Geno Smith has been terrible. And by the way, Vic has been just as bad. So, yeah, I'm not going to say much else about the Jets because I have a feeling they're coming up.
Hmm. Number two on mine, Keenan Allen. He's definitely taken a back step. Last year, he blew up.
He did.
He blew up. He, I think, not single-handedly, we won't say, but he was definitely a huge... focal point for Rivers turning around his season last year, turning around his career.
I think so, when he came on.
When Keenan Allen came on, exactly, Philip Rivers looked like the Philip Rivers of old. Yep. And he was, you know, catching touchdowns left, right, and center.
Leaping over human beings, touchdowns.
It was incredible. And yet, even though he's still getting, you know, similar targets, yardage isn't there, touchdowns isn't there, drop balls.
He's out now.
He's gone. That's it. So, yeah. I mean, disappointing season this year for Keenan Allen.
Yep. Moving on, number two for me is Matt Khalil from the Vikings. Got a lot of Vikings on our list. Matt Khalil is one of the worst left tackles in the NFL. Has been just really, really nasty. He is down the bottom of Pro Football Focus. I'm just loading it up as we speak. He has a rating of -29.4 and is the 77th ranked tackle in the league out of 79.
Just put that in comparison. So, say for who's number one and what score are they?
Number one is Joe Thomas from Cleveland.
Yep.
And then Jason Peters from Philly with 33 and 31.
So, there's like a 50-point gap.
He has been really, really bad. And to put things into perspective, fellow high-round pick Jake Matthews is last on that list. So it's not looking good. And quarterback sacks, Matt Khalil's allowed 12 sacks and 30 quarterback hurries.
That's insane.
It's not... And, you know, you compare that to Joe Thomas's let one sack in and eight hurries. Like, he's awful. Yeah. And he was supposed to be, you know, a surefire safe pick, and it's just backfired.
Was he number two?
He was.
Number two.
When you look at that draft class now, apart from Andrew Luck, RG3 was a stinker, Trent Richardson was a stinker, and Matt Khalil has now been a stinker.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is tough, and it's annoying for the teams. That's why they keep picking in the top five, because the players they pick don't turn out good.
It's also why people, you know, don't mind having those other teams come up, try to, you know, trade for further on draft picks, as the pressure's not there.
Trading down is always good in drafts, and the Patriots have done it so often, and it's worked out for them.
Also, the Seahawks and 49ers banking up picks and picks.
And the Rams have done that as well.
It just seems every year they have that.
Absolutely. All right, number one on your list, Woot.
It was hard. I was tossing up. I'll say at the start of the season, this team was my... Originally, I said they were going to come flat dead last.
You were nearly right if you trusted your gut.
Flat dead last, locker room problems, everything. I said Vic and Gino will be a cancer. They'll just be horrible. And, you know, everything's just going to go to... pretty much to garbage.
Yep.
Then I thought, you know, they didn't look that bad in preseason. I thought, oh, maybe this isn't going to happen. No. I got off them. I should have trusted myself. The New York Jets are hopeless. Should we just say just hopeless?
You got to be kidding me. I mean, how do you watch this? I mean, They stink.
I was... more on the Vic side, you're more on the Geno side. I don't know who didn't won, as they're both pathetic.
Do you know who won? People that didn't watch Jets games. That's who won that battle.
And can I just say, I've watched too many Jets games this year. Decker was supposed to do something. Decker isn't horrible, but what are you supposed to do when you have that kind of quarterback and, you know, offensive lines just not doing a thing?
You know that Titans-Jets game, how awful it was? 16-11? I kind of like those games. It's just sloppy badness, but I like watching it. It's just, I don't know. And the most unlikely heroes make plays, you know.
I do it. Then they go dramatically out and get Harvin as if it was going to save their year. I don't know.
If Percy Harvin's your saviour, you're looking in the wrong spot.
Yeah. So,
Johnny's dick has got to go. Is Nick is dick. I like saying is dick because he's acting like a real D.
Can I just say, also, Chris Johnson, no revival there.
Hey, man, the last 3 weeks he's been alright, but yeah, he's got to go.
He's got to go, and they need some sort of secondary.
And pay Chris Ivory for our mate.
Pay Chris Ivory.
For our mate.
That's hashtag.
Pay Ivory. No.
No.
No. No.
No. Pay for Ivory.
Oh my god. I'm not editing it out.
Nah, it's staying there. That's good. Alright, who's your number one?
Drum roll. JY. Colin Kaepernick. You like to see what I did there?
I did.
He's been rubbish.
He was both on the top of our list when it came to most overrated players.
Yes, that is correct. And his quarterback development has just rescinded, like, isn't it? Rescinded, whatever. It is not looking good. Vernon Davis has suffered because of it. The whole offense is stagnant. Frank Gore's getting on. But there's just nothing from Colin Kaepernick that gets me excited. And I think they've got the wrong end of the Alex Smith deal now, which I've done a full 360 on that. That's why he has been the most disappointing for me in the season.
Yeah, just commended.
Look, commended him. I can admit when I'm wrong, you know? I'm a bigger man like that, you know?
Bigger man? Yeah. Well, you don't think I admit when I'm wrong? Is that happening right now?
That
just happened.
That was a shot to, you know... You know, fans go for the same type of team that Matt does that was on before. You know, just throwing it out there.
Nothing against Matt. That was terrific.
Matt was great. Man, I'm still buzzing. Justin was fantastic.
I forgot to say something to Justin. Yeah, what he thought of our impressions, our accents, if you like, when we were putting on those horrible British accents that time.
He tweeted us after that episode and said that you'd won. So, look, another one down for you. You've demolished me this year in just about every facet.
We should have really recorded it.
Yeah.
All our, you know, different... accents.
Look, I'll go back. We've got a new app coming up where we're going to have more sound bites, live sound bites, not after cuts.
Yep.
I'm going to revamp the whole show up for our first year anniversary. So next January, look out. And, look, I think we're going to get a cut of our British accents, and I think we're going to play them before the London games.
Oh!
And we'll get Justin on then to judge. I think Justin could be our London correspondent, yeah. Our British bear.
I like that. The you British know? Bear.
The British bear. I came up with that. We're the only show in the world that give Justin a nickname.
Wow.
Yep.
It's
pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, because of the extensiveness of our interviews, we've already hit the hour mark. We were going to... load up the NFL.com playoff scenario machine and decide who will feature in the postseason by picking our, you know, winners for week 16 and week 17. But I think what we should do is, after we finish up today, we will do that and take a screenshot of our playoff seedings.
Yep.
And put them on Facebook and Twitter and see what differences we have, and you'll be able to judge who's won what from there.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of week 16 matchups, we'll just do a brief preview of games that sort of have playoff implications. The Colts at the Cowboys is one that would affect seeding. For me, if DeMarco Murray plays, I'm taking the Cowboys. The Colts have really been unimpressive to me the last month.
I hope they play the best game of the year.
I know you do, because... the Eagles are in trouble a little bit.
The Eagles are struggling now. It was an upsetting week all around, fantasy and Eagles.
Yep.
It was, it's what a difference, you know, 2 weeks makes. A little bit of training, a little bit of, you know, better preparation.
Yeah.
Eagles go over to the Cowboys.
Win.
Pump them.
Yep.
They come over here, pump us. So it was just...
it's the NFC East, and that's why I never bet on them. Never gamble on them. I've never touched NFC East divisional games.
It's tough.
And speaking of that, the Eagles play the Redskins. You guys have got to win to stay alive and hope for a Dallas loss either against the Colts or the Redskins.
I do think we can handle the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, I think you might
be right. The Washington team.
Yeah, in terms of Thursday night football, this is a blockbuster game. The Titans at the Jaguars, the suck for duck game.
Yeah, we're going with that? It's not suck for duck.
It's not. But
Tennessee could suck for duck.
Yeah, Jaguars, I think, will be fine with Bortles in the long run. But I think Jags win this game.
Who knows? Tennessee might go after Cutler.
Yeah, who knows? Other games with playoff implications. I think the Falcons at the Saints is for the division, basically. Even though Carolina is still
alive. Who do you like, thinking about that?
The Saints played okay against the Bears, but then, you know, as Justin said before, the Bears are one of the worst defenses in the NFL. The Falcons ain't much better, but the Falcons, I don't know, they...
Julio's back?
They had no Julio against the Steelers, and they still put up a little bit of a fight.
They did.
So, I don't know. I've got a sneaky feeling the Falcons are going to upset them.
So do I. Harry Douglas, can I just say, he must be one of the most, you know...
underrated?
Yeah.
And underappreciated.
Underrated, underappreciated backup wide receivers. Whenever either Roddy White or Julio goes down, he just slots in seamlessly and as if he's been playing there the whole year.
Now that you've reminded me of Harry Douglas, I'm going to take a sound clip of him from Hard Knocks, where he talks about being a clean freak.
And him using female deodorant.
Yeah. And all that. Packing. He is just underrated in anything he's in. I thought he was great in Hard Knocks.
So we'll probably play that now?
Yeah, all right. Why not?
Don't judge me, but I use women's deodorant. It keeps me fresh. I just love the way it smells. I don't like the way men deodorant smells.
Alrighty. Other games with playoff implications, we've got the Seahawks and the Cardinals game, which would normally be a really blockbuster game, but the injury to Drew Stanton has just put a dampener on it. Ryan Lindley is going to get destroyed.
Can I just say, I don't know what the line is in this game, but this could be...
ugly.
Seahawks could win by a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So, look for the line to be over 100.
So you're saying take the Seahawks no matter the line?
No, I wouldn't say that, but it's gonna be big.
Yep. Yeah, so we're both taking the Seahawks in that one?
Definitely.
All right, and probably the only other game that sort of has relevance, apart from sort of like seeding in general, is the...
Can I just say, it's 7.5.
How much are the Seahawks paying?
It's paying $1.94 for Seattle at 7.5.
Is that your root wager for the week?
That is incredible.
Ching, ching.
Let's have... I'm going to look up Seattle. Plus 10.
Plus 10.
I mean, minus 10. Sorry. Wow, that's pathetic.
Okay, well, filibuster.
Do you know what that word means?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that mean?
Oh, Seattle Seahawks by more than 13. That's paying $2.66.
I'll get on those.
Yeah,
ones.
That looks nice.
Okay. And the last game is the Chiefs and the Steelers. It's at Heinz Field. Look, Chiefs have got a win to stay alive, and the Steelers, I think a win here will pretty much secure them a playoff spot, whether that is as high as, you know, the third seed or as low as the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on where they sort of, they need a win sort of to improve their, you know, home field advantage possibly. Not for this, for the first week anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Steelers winning that one because Kansas just don't excite me and they play boring football.
Yeah, also with the whole uncertainty of the running back situation there at the moment, a little bit after Jamal Charles coming back in and just, you know, his limited use. I don't know what that was. It's just difficult for me to say. Andy Reid's Andy Reid. No one knows what he's thinking ever. Yep. So, I mean, yeah, I think I like the Steelers too.
Yep. We'll actually post our picks this week. We've forgotten them last week. But we had our best week ever.
We had our best week ever. You just have to believe us. We picked the same. So, we both got 15 out of 16.
Bloody Bills.
Bloody, yeah.
Which is annoying. I thought picking Dallas would get me one up on Josh, but he ended up picking them again anyway. So, that annoyed me a little bit. So, I don't think you can lose now, provided I pick, you know.
All right.
A massive amount of upsets.
I'm going to pick up all the upsets this week.
See how we go. Yeah. Okay.
I'll pick up all the opposite to you and all this thing.
All right. That wraps up the show for today. We'll post up our playoff seedings using the NFL.com scenario machine.
Mm-hmm.
And can you please rate and review us on iTunes? I know it's a bit of a nuisance and it's a pain, but we really appreciate it. And it boosts fan involvement, and the more listeners we get, the more fun it is.
Yeah, it's more fun for us, and it gives us more motivation to, you know, go out and try different things.
And get better.
Yeah.
Even if we're crap, let us know, like, honestly.
I want feedback.
I want someone to destroy us.
If they say, man, Josh, you just sound so nasally, and you always say, you know, which I do, yell at me.
Let him know. Just say, you know, Josh Woot.
So, you know? Yeah, just hit me up on Josh Wise's Twitter handle.
Our Twitter handle is @WootandY. Can you please retweet any links we put up for the show? It's great. We appreciate all the people that do already. And share us on Facebook. The more the merrier.
Yep.
And some breaking news. We're currently in negotiations with the Sydney NFL Supporters Group and King Street Brewery about sort of being involved with their Super Bowl party. So we're going to take work off and head on down and see if we can get involved.
Kind of MC, maybe.
I don't know if we're getting that far, but we'll see how we go. So you can follow me on Twitter @JoshY.
No, that's not true.
No, it's not. It's JYNFL now.
Wow.
I changed my handle.
And you can hit me up on Harry Douglas Lover 69 at @JoshWoo. It's still the same.
Is Harry Douglas 69 taken? Because if it is, he's going to get a lot of followers this week.
Wow, that's going to be cool.
Catch up.
Bye.
You sound like you're from London. Yeah, I'm from London.